Rabbi Jonathan Cahn continues to put out best-selling books. He's well-known in the Christian community and also the secular community. I have the privilege, as you probably know, of being his publisher, and I'm so honored that today he's in our offices, and we wanted to take a few minutes to talk about some of the exciting things and also some of the things that are very, very concerning happening in our country. In fact, just last week, he recorded a prophetic word for President Biden. It's been seen over 2 million times, and it was not a happy, clappy kind of warning. It's very serious. I'm going to ask him about it, so stay tuned to this conversation with Jonathan Cahn on the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And Rabbi, thank you for taking time. We've had a pretty busy schedule. You're here for a conference with the leaders, rabbis of the Messianic movement.
Yeah, it happens once a year here in Orlando, and it's a cool thing, and it's great to always have you there.
Well, thank you.
And it's, Messianic rabbis, leaders from all around the country, sometimes around the world. It's prophetic.
Well, your message was powerful, and we're going to talk about that today, but the part I really liked was the divinic dancing, which I don't see that often.
Which I didn't do. He's not saying I did it. That wasn't part of the message
either. It was
part
of the worship.
It wasn't even part of the, yeah.
But, of course, this is your latest book, The Return of the Gods, and is kind of what you're talking about on all kinds of media. I think this is the first time I've done a podcast with you. I did a podcast before the book came out.
Oh, okay.
Kind of talking about it, teamed it up, but the book has been on the New York Times bestseller list. It's getting all kinds of acclaim. We're hoping that it looks like some major secular media are opening up to you, because this is a message that America needs. So why don't you summarize it?
Yeah.
For those who've been in a cave and haven't been watching, why don't you summarize what it is?
The ultimate thing is this. Jesus gives a parable, and the parable is that if a spirit goes out of a man, looks for a place, doesn't find it, goes, says, I'll go back to the house, my house, the man, and he goes back, finds it clean and empty, and brings back seven other spirits. They repossess the house or the man. And so Jesus said the latter state is worse than the first. But what people don't get, he's not just talking about one person. He says, so it shall be with this generation. Generations or cultures, civilizations can also be possessed by spirits, and they can be delivered. And the thing is that if you look, Western civilization was once possessed by the gods. It was a pagan culture. It had all the signs of possession. And the Bible says that behind the gods, it says this in the Old Testament and the New Testament, behind the gods are spirits, demonic. You know, and so in the Hebrew it's called shedim, in the Greek it's called daimonia. We get the word demon from it. So if you put it all together, in the largest application, any civilization or nation or culture that has known God and then turns away from God, has been cleansed by God, has been delivered by God, turns away from Him, the spirits are going to return that were cast out. The gods, or in a sense, are going to return to repossess it. And if you want to understand what's happening in America and the world, much of the world, the West, it's exactly this, is that we are witnessing a repossession. We've opened the door. We've turned away from God. And so the house is not going to stay empty. The house is going to be filled. Something else is coming into it. And what's coming into it is what was cast out of it. And what was cast out of it, and in the return of the gods, I'm revealing not just that, but can we know the exact specific gods or spirits that come back from the ancient world? And we can, and they are, and what's coming back is specific. It's a repossession. And we're also undergoing, in that, it's a process of repaganization. You know, and so when you look at all the changes that we've been watching over the last half century or so, it has been a turn away from God, but it's also been a re-paganization of our culture. It's all moving in a pagan direction. And remember, the Bible, the warning of it is, when they come back, it's going to be worse. So what it's saying is, ultimately, this is going to be worse than it was in the beginning under paganism.
You know, one of the things I learned from the book, and, you know, I've studied this and I've known you, is that when Christianity kind of took over, it exorcised all these spirits.
Yes.
I mean, there were all these demonic spirits. Greece and Rome had homosexuality.
Yeah.
Caesarea Philippi, which is a Roman city, had a some kind of Greek temple. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen the ruins. And Jesus went through Caesarea Philippi mm-hmm. all the time. In fact, that's the place, if I remember correctly, where he asked his disciples,
yeah.
do you love me?
And who do you say I am, too? Who
that's right. So yeah. he was well aware of
yeah.
those kind. But, you know, they basically went away. Nobody worships Zeus anymore.
Yes.
And
yes.
I had never thought that the early church sort of exercised.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the church today has the power to exorcise these spirits?
Yes, because we have the power of Jesus, and that's the power. That the power of God is stronger than any spirit. But at the same time, it's also linked to a culture. We have a gigantic culture. We can, first of all, we have to first exorcise it among us, that any trace of these things, if there's any foothold that believers that we're taking part of, we have the power, the Spirit of God, to deliver us and to deliver people in our life. For civilizational deliverance, it needs to be something major, you know, like a movement of the spirit, like a movement revival. You know, so it's not just individual can exercise an individual, but you were talking about civilization. We're watching an entire civilization moving, and that's a massive force. God is still more powerful, you know, and the light is still more powerful than the darkness. We have that power. But for that to happen with a civilization, there has to be hearts changing all among the unsaved, among those who are actually under the influence of this. So we have, our part is to shine the light, is to spread the gospel and not be intimidated by this and not be quiet. Now is the time, but we have that power, but it's going to take a massive move, just like it did with the gospel first coming. It was a mass exorcism of civilization. You know, the temples were abandoned, you know, but at the same time, the spirits were cast out, but the spirits don't die. Spirits don't die. They wait to come again. And now, but so, and the other thing is that what's opened the door is the vacuum. Once you take God, and we've been watching this, you know, from the early 60s, the removal of God, step by step, we all know it's happening from our culture, but we didn't heed the warning. If we knew the warning, if America knew the warning when it was, quote, a Christian, I don't know if it would have done it, because it's always going to end up to where we are now. Because you, for instance, you take God out of the schools, you know, well, something else is going to come into the schools. Something else is going to come into the children. It's happening now.
That's right. And that's what you warned President Biden about. It's had over 2 million views. And what, has it been 2 weeks since it happened?
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. And it's on Instagram and Facebook
and TikTok. Yeah.
And could people find it by just Googling
your
name?
If they just do Jonathan Cahn message to Joe Biden. Now, there was the first one that I did. It's number two. Okay. But they're both there.
The first one was like the day of or the day after the inauguration two years ago.
Yeah. And what I was led to do was to also give a warning that don't go in this direction. You know, you cannot do this and this. And what it was the warning of is what he's doing now. And this was almost an answer, because now you're doing what the warning said never to do. And so this was in a response to what triggered it is what happened on the White House lawn, which actually linked to the mystery of the gods. But that is the president hosted a mass gathering celebration on the White House lawn to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act in federal law. You know, a number of years ago, the Supreme Court made its ruling, but it never was in federal law, never enshrined in federal law. This was the enshrinement of same-sex marriage, the alteration of marriage into federal law. And this, it was called the Respect for Marriage Act. You know, talk about, you know, newspeak, you know, like what George Orwell said. You know, what they do is, you know, if you're talking about hatred, call it love. If you're talking about freedom, oppression, call it freedom. So here was Respect for Marriage Act. It was the striking down of the Defense of Marriage Act, and celebrated with LGBT activists and drag queens at the White House. Then he lit up the White House in the rainbow, the color of the rainbow, which is, by the way, goes back to an ancient mystery of one of the gods in this book, which was the god or goddess that specifically altered sexuality.
Okay, well, tell us about it. I want people to read the book, but just give a little hint.
There is one in the book, she's called the Enchantress. This is the goddess. There's actually, I talk about a dark trinity. That was when Israel turned away from God, this It was a dark trinity of these three primary deities, false god spirits. And the middle one is called the Enchantress. The Enchantress is the goddess of sexual immorality back then. And there's so much, the whole sexual revolution, it's not an accident that this happened right after we started emptying ourselves of God. This is what always happens. And there's much more to that, the whole sexual revolution. But this goddess was also the goddess where the ancient inscriptions, and I put the ancient inscriptions in the book from Mesopotamia, it says that she says, I am a woman, I am a man. It says in her hymns, you have the power, she's talking to this goddess, you have the power to turn a man into a woman into a man. So this is the principality or the goddess who bends and breaks the lines of gender. She substitutes, she changes man to woman, woman to man. She merges it. So she's the god of androgyny. Now, this is not just in the realm of sexuality. This is the realm of everything. Since the 60s, we've been having a thing of breaking the lines of gender. It's in every part of our culture, you know, of the role of man, the role of woman. It's ultimately the elimination of man and woman. That's where we're getting now. But so at the beginning of the sexual revolution, you didn't see that so much. You know, it was take sex out of marriage, not out of gender. Now, but the thing is that as this spirit starts more and more possessing the culture and getting entrenched, then it gets deeper. Then this other work comes. So now in the ancient times, she had a priesthood. Her priesthood were men walking around her temples dressed as women. And so when you see men again dressing as women, again, as part of a cultural movement, this is linked to this goddess. The other thing is it says she turns a man into a woman. So we have another phenomenon happening now, and that is the turning of men into women, women into men, transgenderism. That's all basically, even back then, among her priesthood were those whom she had surgically altered, who were surgically transitioned. That's part of paganism. And the fact that it's now is not, in a sense, new. It's just worse now. But see, back then, she sought to possess a priesthood. But Jesus said, when they come back worse. Now she's seeking an entire generation. An entire generation of children are being indoctrinated into this now. So all these things are part of it. And so one of the signs of this goddess was the sign of the rainbow. And she's actually the oldest goddess or oldest who is linked to the rainbow in human history. Some of the inscriptions say one of her names was, she's in the Bible, by the way, as Ashtoreth. That's her, but she appears in Babylon as Ishtar and in Greece as Aphrodite. And she was...
In Rome as Venus.
In Rome as Venus. And we think about how Venus, Aphrodite, this is a dark thing going on here. And the thing is that it says that one of the inscriptions says Manzat Ishtar in Sumerian, which means rainbow Ishtar. It says she had rainbow eyes. It says in one of her myths, the Epic of Gilgamesh, she says she turns herself, she stretches herself out as a rainbow. So the thing is, she enlarges herself through the sign of the rainbow. That's why the sign of the rainbow, which really belongs to God, and by the way, she was also the goddess known for stealing from other gods. So she has taken this, and that's why it's supernatural. You know, we were talking about somebody on Fox News who said what's happening in this realm is spiritual. And it is. The whole thing, look at what's happened. How did the rainbow take over everything? Unlike anything before. You can go into a supermarket and you'll see the rainbow on children's cereal boxes. You will see the rainbow on American embassies. They don't fly other flags, but they fly this flag. When on earth has the government celebrated any form of sexuality? You know, this is not natural. It's supernatural. This is the mark of the goddess. And the thing is, that here the White House was lit up in the sign of the goddess. She's saying, I own it. Or in a sense, the president, I'm not saying he was conscious of it. He's lifting up America into the hands of this principality.
What do you think the answer is?
I know the answer. The answer to the false gods is the true God. And the answer to the false spirits is the Spirit of God. You know, one of the things that, you know, in the Return of the Gods, I'm opening up a lot of things, and a lot of things are, you know, pretty stunning, you know, that it's, because you're seeing it's happening in our life. But the ultimate thing, it's not just that, it's that we need to be aware of this because we're in a war. And if you're in a fight and you don't know you're in a fight, you're not going to win. And if you're in a fight and you don't know what you're fighting, you're most likely not going to win. Or if you don't know the power you have. So ultimately, you know, the last part of the Return of the Gods is called the Other God. And that is the power of our God is so much stronger. But we have to stand in that. You know, one of the things that happens when these spirits come into a culture, at the beginning, they come in the form of tolerance, you know, because they have to open up a Judeo-Christian civilization. So be open, anything goes, it's okay. That's what we used to hear all the time. But we don't hear it as much. Now, once they get possession, close the doors, now every knee shall bow. There shall be no dissent. And that's where we are now with this council culture. And so the spirits, they always seek total domination, but also they have a vendetta against Christians because Christians are the ones who cast them out. And so there's a target on Christians. So the thing is that we have to know we're in a fight. We also have to, if we're gonna be a force for light, if there's anything in our life, like remember Gideon had in order to be a great hero, he had to smash the altar in his backyard to Baal. We have to get that out of our life first. Then we have to stand. The power of God is stronger. We have the power to cast out. We have the power. The light is always greater than the darkness. So if it's getting darker, listen, believers have prayed, I wish I lived in biblical times. Congratulations. These are biblical times. Paul dealt with the gods. Elijah dealt with the gods. Moses dealt with the gods. You know, they stood against it. So this is not new, but it's a new form. So if the dark gets darker, we have to get brighter. These are the times of the book of Acts. The believers of Acts dealt with this world, this demonic world. We have that same power, and this could be our greatest hour, but we have to stand and go all out for God in the power of God.
Well, so well said. And there's so much more. And if you have not read this book, you need to. You're probably buying it on Amazon, but really any of the sites, including mycharismashop.com. You want to read this book. Also, we haven't talked about it, and we've kind of run out of time, but you did a documentary called Harbinger of Things to Come, and it was a Fathom event in May, and congratulations on the fact that it was the number 2 movie for that day. It was May 12th. It was in 800 and some theaters, which is incredible. We did some stories on charismanews.com about revival breaking out in some of the theaters.
Yeah. It was amazing what God did. Cause we made that without thinking at first whether it's going to go in the theater. And then it just opened up. The theater I was in, it broke out into a prayers for revival for America. And it was, which is that I heard it happened around the country. It was a miracle, you know, and the other thing is that, and I was sharing, we were at the meeting last night and sharing, listen, God will always make a way to shine the light. There's always a way. He's never going to stop. We always, no matter whether it's dark or light, we have to shine the light. They actually then played it again. You know,
it was so popular. They did another night.
They did another one, and I think it was number 3 of all movies of Hollywood
of that particular day.
Yeah. So there's always a way to do this. There's always a way to. Yeah. So we were blessed, but we have to shine our light. That's the most important thing.
And now it's available.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime, Amazon, the DVDs are available. And we just got news that it's having a whole new life.
Yeah.
This is very important to see. It's a different story than Return of the Gods, but it's very, very well done. And congratulations, it's been so successful. We'll have to talk about, are we going to do other documentaries in the future?
Yeah, it's a very, you know what, I think, you know, back then, you know, if you had a prophetic word, you'd write it on parchment, you know. Now God gives us media, you know, and that's what you're doing, you know. And this is truly that movie. I mean, I didn't make it. I'm in it. But the one who did an incredible job, it's a powerful prophetic revelation of what's happening now for every believer and also what to do about it. But so, yeah, if you can get it, if you weren't there in the theater, even if you were, or if you have friends, yeah, it's available everywhere as far as I know.
Well, thank you very much. We've kind of run out of time, but I want to thank my listeners for listening to the Strang Report and my viewers on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe below and write some comments. We appreciate that. And share this with others. And listen, pick up this book. This is not just an effort to sell you a book. This is, as we say in the publishing business, it is not a book is a book is a book. I mean, this is, your life will be fulfilled. Your spirit will be expanded. The lights will go on. Much more than we were able to talk about in this short podcast. So thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com.